Welcome to the Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal. We examine things like the minds of entrepreneurs, emerging trends, financing, marketing, unique ideas, big business moves that could affect small businesses, even how to get started on your own. Today's stories, customer service lessons from a tech firm that could be misfiring. Feeling ignored by mainstream banks? Guess who's rushing to get your business instead? And a payments company finds a way to increase exposure in the political world. Those stories after this. You're results-driven and you're ambitious. You've established yourself professionally and now you're looking for more. Take the next step in your entrepreneurial journey with Edible Arrangements, the brand that revolutionized gifting with handcrafted fruit arrangements and gourmet chocolate-covered fruit now also offers delicious everyday treats like smoothies, fruit salads, and parfaits. As an Edible Arrangements franchisee, you get access to an established brand with 16 years of growth, over 80% brand recognition, and 1,200 locations worldwide. You'll benefit from know-how, support, and millions of visitors to the Edible Arrangements e-commerce platform. Discover why Entrepreneur Magazine named Edible Arrangements a top franchise and among their best of the best for 2015. Start your journey to sweet success as an Edible Arrangements franchise owner. Call 1-888-727-4258 or go to edible.com. That's 1-888-727-4258. 4258 or edible.com. We'll start with this. On the tech front, there appears to be some inconsistency with customer support at Apple if you're having an issue with one of its products. Here's a lesson for some small businesses. More from tech analyst Rob Enderle, principal of the Enderle Group in San Jose, California. Rob, explain.
Well, so a bunch of us got an email from a woman named Diane Katz, who's a PhD that specializes in team building. And what had happened is she'd woken up one day and tried to do her email, and she had the spinning wheel of death that Apple customers often get if something's not connecting and email wasn't working. So she called Apple support. And Apple support said, "Oh, I know, we know what your problem is. You need a new hard drive." And then proceeded to sell her a $650 hard drive and then walked her through the process of replacing the drive on her laptop with a new SSD hard drive. And of course, as anybody technical would probably realize, that's not going to fix an email problem, and it didn't. It becomes a cautionary tale here because we have an awful lot of folks, you know, calling in and pretending that there's support. You can always get a very bad tech. And it appears, because I've heard stories coming from people that use Apple products now for a little over a year, that Apple's focusing a little bit too much on moving product, like selling you a new hard drive, and not enough on actually fixing your problem. And certainly not enough when they take somebody out of business, which is what they basically did with this woman, in terms of making things right.
Wow. All right, so one incident does not necessarily a crisis make, but is there a larger issue here that you're sensing?
Yeah, well, part of it is really the technical capability of the user has dropped quite a bit over the years. It used to be when you used a PC, you gained a certain amount of technical competence because you were always having to reboot it or rebuild it or something because they were very reliable. But now they're almost like appliances, whether you're talking about a Windows machine or a Mac. And the end result is the skill sets just aren't there to understand when somebody's telling you to do something, it's not the right thing to do. And so you've got to be very cautious. And if anybody's, one is if you're dealing with somebody over the phone and they're doing something invasive, like, you know, having you replace a hard drive, or specifically if they're having you delete files anyplace, make sure you've backed that thing up. And with the Apple products, you do typically have the option of going into an Apple store. And what we discovered during this particular email incident was that the stores and Apple tech support supposedly don't talk to each other very much. And so they're not sharing information at all.
Yeah. We're speaking with tech analyst Rob Enderle. This does speak to a certain point about a comment that a Wall Street Journal tech writer had made about Apple being a happy trap for some people, but it can be a trap.
It's exactly that. It's one of the problems when you've got a lock-in strategy, which is the one that Apple has, in that if you're mistreated, you really can't jump to another vendor. You're effectively locked in. And the problem with that for the vendor is, particularly when you're under a lot of pressure to meet quarterly financial report guidelines or projections, is to start mining the customers for money and doing things like, you know, commissioning support people for selling hardware which I think is probably what happened here, is there probably some kind of an incentive for tech support to convince you to buy a new hard drive, and that's why he jumped to the hard drive, because he wants to get a commission. That's never a good thing. And if you can switch, that fear of you switching will keep the customer the company from doing stuff like this. But if they don't have a fear of you leaving them, then their motivation not to abuse you is removed. And we certainly saw IBM do that in the late 80s. And they almost went out of business because customers did eventually figure out how to switch. And the same thing can happen to Apple if they're not careful. But yeah, I just, that whole lock-in thing where you don't have a choice of going to another customer, you know, we see that with our cable companies, and that's why they've got the lowest customer satisfaction scores on the planet. If you can avoid that with any vendor, you're probably going to be happier long-term.
Thanks, Rob. Tech analyst Rob Enderle from San Jose, California. Online moneylenders were once looked upon as helpful avenues for small business owners to acquire a cash advance. But with many entrepreneurs buried by excessive loans, respected lenders are looking to halt this shady trend. More from correspondent Dominic Savino.
It was only a few years ago that analysts thought so-called marketplace lenders would be a boon for small businesses, allowing entrepreneurs to sign up for loans with only a few clicks online. Instead, they've just made quite a few companies go bust. A recent Wall Street Journal article indicates that the problem is linked to the number of lenders, hundreds according to some estimates. But even with the abundance of online loan opportunities, most small business owners aren't taking the bait. According to the Financial Reserve, only 18% of small business loan applicants applied for financing through marketplace lenders in the first half of 2014. This high supply, low demand environment has spawned a dangerous practice called stacking, in which lenders follow up with recent borrowers by offering second, third, and yes, even fourth cash advances. And as brick-and-mortar banks continue to close vault, small business owners could continue to rely on online loans. In their defense, reputable lenders have fought back, filing suit against their more shady competitors when their follow-up loans have driven clients to bankruptcy. Ultimately, industry officials hope to create a legal precedent outlawing stacking from outside lenders. But the stories of many small business owners stand as cautionary tales for potential entrepreneurs. Should traditional bank loans be unavailable, be careful to limit online loans to the sum of money your small business truly needs to get going. Gordon?
Thank you, Dominic. Coming up next, hopping on a political trend.
Do you want to learn how to mask your identity to browse inappropriate websites and stream media while at the office?
Well, we can't help you with that. But among the many IT problems we solve, Barracuda's web security solutions keep online activity clean and ensure internet bandwidth performance. Reclaim your network, like 150,000 other businesses already have. To learn more about preventing web-based threats, visit barracuda.com/web.
Want to be a political donor but don't have thousands to give? The presidential campaigns are embracing a new service being offered to Twitter to raise political cash, especially small donations. Twitter is partnering with Square, a company that processes payments. The program launched recently and is designed to make it easier for campaigns to directly accept secure donations from Twitter users. To donate, you enter your name, debit card number, and other information on a Square website in a Twitter browser window. After the transaction is completed, your info, not surprisingly, is saved for future donations. Credit cards, by the way, not accepted. Republican Ben Carson was among the first to sign up. Two-thirds of the funds given to his campaign and super PAC came from donations of $200 or less. The tool is free for candidates to use, and Square charges a 1.9% processing fee for each donation. By the way, you can get more small business reports on our website, which is thismorningwithgordondeal.com. And while there, check out our daily news program called This Morning, America's First News. Also, if you'd like to share thoughts or ideas about your small business, shoot me an email. It's gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. Again, compassmedianetworks.com. Thanks for listening to the Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal.